We are often reminded today, ad nauseum, about slavery, America's original sin. There's a new book about slavery that opens up this way, quote, "Slavery is as old as human history itself. In experiencing this crime against humanity, America is far from unique. Slavery has involved far more peoples, cultures, and countries than those caught up in the transatlantic slave trade, which has largely been the image of slavery in the modern mind." So writes Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a best-selling author. He's a professor of history and political science at Grove City College. He is a New York Times best-selling author, and his latest book is called The Worst of Indignities, The Catholic Church on Slavery. I was just actually quoting the very opening of the book. We welcome back to the program on Vocal Point, Dr. Paul Kanger. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Paul, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us and congratulations on a new book.
Oh, well, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, it's always good to be with you. Always enjoy this audience. And you and I have known each other since, the late, great D. James Kennedy days, you know, and so it's good to be in touch again. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, well, first, let's set the theological framework here. Wouldn't it be fair to say whether Catholic, Protestant, Greek Orthodox, whatever, slavery is antithetical to God, antithetical to the Bible, to the Christian faith, you know, as revealed in the scriptures and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely right. In fact, if you want to go to a sacred text of a particular religion, right? I don't know, we as Christians wouldn't call it sacred, but Muslims would, you know, go to the Quran, right? And, you know, it's places like that that you'll find phrases like, in fact, this is from Surah number 33 in the Quran. So the Quran has 114 surahs or chapters, right? And Surah 33:50 has God himself, Jerry, purportedly declaring directly to Muhammad, okay, he says to him, quote, "Prophet, we have made lawful for you the wives to whom you have granted dowries and the slave girls whom God has given you as booty," right? So you go to the Quran and you see explicit promises, allegedly, from God himself to Muhammad, right, that you may have multiple wives and you will also have, quote, "the slave girls whom God has given you as booty," all right? That would be rewards in battle. And Muhammad owned slaves. He personally engaged in at least 78 battles. So he was this immensely successful warlord who took, you know, all kinds of plunder from those battles. And the booty included slaves, you know, basically female sex slaves. So we're sorry to go off there a little bit on Islam, but the point that I know this audience will appreciate is that you got to go outside of Christianity to find that kind of thing. And what the Christian faith does that's so different is it suddenly comes along after centuries and even millennia of people being taken into captivity. I mean, read our Old Testament, right? And, the Jews taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the Neo-Babylonians, on and on in Egypt. And the one thing in history that finally changes all of this were Christians. You know, Christians are the first to come along and say, no, Jesus has come to set you free, you Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free. That's what Christianity does. It's altogether different. And finally, thank God, literally, right? In Christianity, changes the whole historical perspective on slavery. And so, yeah, my book is about that.
And the very closing of the book says this: God made us to be free. His divine Son came to set us free, Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and non-slave. He himself even took the form of a slave, doulos, to ransom us all. And that's based on Philippians chapter 2. So this is a very, very interesting point. What led you to write this book? And by the way, we should point out that in today's politically correct milieu, the average college student in America today would never learn the just the few things you've said already in this interview. For example, like the link between Islam and slavery, or the link between freedom and, you know, Christianity.
Well, that's exactly right. And they probably also aren't learning about, you know, what I talk about in the book, the Mesoamerican slavers, you know, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Chinese slaves. The slavery under China, I mean, it was slaves that built the Great Wall of China. China had an enormous number of black African slaves. I also talk about African blacks owning and selling African blacks, and also about the millions of white European slaves in North Africa. All right, that were owned by black Africans. And also, and you're not going to hear about this one, Jerry, right, on Indigenous Peoples Day, when we no longer celebrate Christopher Columbus, who discovered this country. But you know, here in America, there were Native Americans, American Indians, that owned slaves, black slaves. You know, the five so-called civilized tribes, the Choctaw, the Creek, the Seminole, the Iroquois, they all had black African slaves, and some of them even fought with the Confederacy in the Civil War to try to preserve their slaves. When the war was over and after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, a bunch of these American Indian tribes still own slaves. And to this day, it's really difficult to find information on this. You got to really dig to find it. There are today active lawsuits in America among black American descendants of those slaves against those Indian tribes seeking restitution and reparation. And these Indian tribes were brutal slave masters. If a slave tried to escape, they would cut off a guy's foot. They would amputate the foot as a lesson to others. So you know, these are all things that people don't know about. I'll tell you another figure of the 10 million plus black Africans that were part of the transatlantic slave trade, which began about the year 1444. Less than 5% came to North America. Okay, the vast majority of them went elsewhere. And I know people thinking, oh yeah, they all went to the white Europeans. The largest slave-owning country was Brazil. Brazil. And I've never been to Brazil, but I've seen pictures of it, Jerry. and it's not made up of a bunch of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegians. All right? So you know, this is the reality. If you want to start blaming people for slavery, you're going to pretty much have to blame all of humanity for this one. All right. And one more thing for people on this show will really get this. You want to know where slavery begins? Open the book of Genesis and read about the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates River, which was ancient Mesopotamia. Today would be Iraq. All right. You know, that's when slavery started. And in Genesis, that's known as the Garden of Eden. All right. Now, it didn't start in the Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden is all bliss. And then there's the fall of man, the temptation by Satan and so forth. But not terribly long after that. All right. The first slaves are in ancient Mesopotamia, 6,000, 8,000 BC. All right. So you want to just try to blame this on America? How is America unique? I quote Thomas Sowell, the great African-American thinker and writer on this. He says, America is unique in that we came forward to end slavery and did so in the worst and bloodiest war in our nation's history, the Civil War, where you had white boys killing white boys over the issue of slavery, all right? And you know, white boys on the North certainly trying to end slavery, all right? We lost more boys in the American Civil War than in all other wars combined in American history. American Revolution, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, add them all up. And only then do you start to get close to the number of boys we lost in the American Civil War to end slavery. All right. So, you know, America is not perfect on this, but we're much better than these modern day critical race theorists and race dividers make us out to be.
Wow, this is incredible. We only have about 4 minutes left of this discussion, Paul. What do you want to say that you haven't said? And by the way, where does John Jay fit in? Here is one of our key founding fathers. He wrote along with Madison and Alexander Hamilton some of the Federalist Papers. Tell us about John Jay and abolition.
Yeah, John Jay, known as America's Wilberforce. And I go through how all of the major founders, yes, all of them, were against slavery in principle, and they said it was morally wrong, including the ones who owned slaves, Washington and Jefferson and the others. They were looking for a way to end it, but they couldn't end it in 1776. Even then, we did a lot in America with the Constitutional Convention in the states, late 1700s, early 1800s, Continental Congress, even before Lincoln did. That's not appreciated. And one more thing. Today's American left has this new thing called the 1619 Project, led by Nicole Hannah Jones and the New York Times, on how those were the first black Africans brought to America as slaves. They don't tell you about the year 1618. Okay, 1618. And you can read a book on this called White Cargo. It came out in 2007 by NYU Press. Those people didn't even know how significant the year 1618 would be vis-a-vis the 1619 thing. But that in 1618 was when the start of about 300,000 white indentured servants came to America from Britain. And they were auctioned. They were manacled. They were whipped. They were often treated quite cruelly. The first slaves to come to America were white slaves. Now, all of this, the wokesters and the CRT people and the liberals don't want you to know this because they want to be able to beat up America. That's the goal, to take down America.
Wow. Okay, what else do you want to say? We only have about 2 minutes left, and the title itself comes from Pius X, I understand, The Worst of Indignities.
Yeah. And I was inspired to write the book because I had written a piece in the summer of 2020 about for Crisis Magazine, which is a Catholic publication. And I said, this is something that if you're Catholic, you got nothing to apologize for, because there are church encyclicals going back to 1434 condemning, you know, slavery against the black natives in the Canary Islands. You can go back to St. Patrick in the 300s. Who had been a slave himself. There were popes who were slaves. There are statements, the Council of Agde, the year 506, on and on and on and on. And, you know, and of course, the Reformation doesn't come till the 1500s. So at that point, you know, the Catholic Church is the church. And then, you know, the abolitionists in America in the 1800s, who were mostly white Protestants, right? So Christianity has little to apologize here for. By the way, Christianity has nothing to apologize for. Some Christians do, right? So there are some Christians who didn't live up to the promises of their faith and ended up owning slaves and whipping them. But the problem there was those fallen Christians, not Christianity. All right? It was only Christianity and Christ and the words of the gospel that really redeemed humanity, free and unfree, and changed all of this in the course of history and for the better of history.
All right. Paul Kanger has been our guest. The Worst of Indignities is the name of his new book, The Catholic Church on Slavery. Paul, we have another 20 seconds left. And by the way, your website is Faith and Freedom Coalition, I believe, right?
Faithandfreedom.com.
Faithandfreedom.com.
City College.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our Institute for
all
Faith
right.
and Freedom.
20 seconds
closer.
I write
for the American Spectator. Go to spectator.org.
Spectator.org. Do you write about this, about the slavery issue?
I do. Yeah, I have a couple pieces posted up there now, and even a couple interviews posted that I've done with people, video that they could check out.
Excellent. And again, the name of his new book is The Worst of Indignities, The Catholic Church on Slavery. Dr. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Same to you, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.